You will turn into your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Starting with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then he says, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter, he answered, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no one that Jesus was the Christ. I'd like to ask a question. A question that is asked by a lot of people. And even those who have a deep faith in God have asked this very question. What good is organized religion? There have been a number of books written that denounce organized religion. Many of them take scriptures out of its context, in that you don't need to be in a setting such as this in order to worship God. Oftentimes, these very people, even these authors, have been hurt in some way, shape, or form by religious groups. But a true church is filled with people who follow, to the very best of their abilities, Christ's teachings. And it is not the goal of the true church to manipulate others into some action that is not God-ordained. You know, the history of Christianity is open for all to see. A true Christian community is made up of genuine believers. They don't always see eye to eye with each other. And oftentimes they are at odds with the secular world view. And you know, sometimes when we have folks that come to this point, it can cause them to turn away because they simply want to follow their own beliefs. I don't know how many of you have ever gotten into conversations with other individuals where this, I don't want to use the term argument, discussion, that's the word I want to say. Now, those who refute organized religion as necessary. Tonight, I'd like to offer some ideas that you can interject in your discussions with these people at some point or not. And maybe you haven't ever gotten into that discussion with others before, but if you're around for long enough, you probably will. Religion is simply more than a place where people want your money. It's simply more than a place where people tell you what you are to do and not to do, and what you are to believe and not to believe. We all understand the church and Christ are the same. In the passage that we read in Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples what other people thought him to be. And it is a great question that people need to consider. There are those out there that believe that Jesus is a myth, There are those that believe that he was a religious teacher of the Jews or even a prophet that started his own religion. But the bigger question that we need to ask ourselves, and maybe you can have others ask themselves, is what and who is Jesus to you? We have to give ourselves an answer in one way, shape, or form. Who is he to us? Now, there's those out there that will say, well, Jesus is my personal Savior. And they're not wrong on that. He is a personal Savior. He does save us individually. There are those that say Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he rose up from the dead, that he conquered sin and death once and for all time. But I'd like us to take it just a step further tonight. Jesus told his disciples that from the confession that Peter made of who he was, the Son of God, and that he was going to build what we call his church. And we all have an understanding of the word church. It just defines a group of people who are different from everyone else. Describe the people as being called, or more literally, the called out. It is Jesus that binds this group of believers in him together. And so we use this term church. He is the church, and the church is Jesus. So from the biblical point of view, we really cannot have one without the other. The church, the congregation here at Malden, or Edgewood, or Augusta Road, or anywhere else where the churches of Christ reside, as simply the visible body of God in this world, in a community in which we live. Every Christian is a part of that church, because every Christian is a part of the body of Christ, and our Savior is the head of that church, which is his body. Now, that might not be an answer that many want to hear, or some, but it is the answer that Jesus gives. Now, let's take a look for a moment of organized religion. There are so many denominations out there that claim to be the church. Most of them claim that Jesus is their founder. So why is there so many, and how does one choose which one to identify with? Well, let's start with what we already know. The church belongs to Jesus. And so the first thing that we have to do is to find a church that teaches what Jesus taught, and simply not man's interpretation of what Jesus taught. Sadly, for many churches today, public appeal is more important than God's absolutes. We can go to different churches, and we can sit in their auditoriums and listen to the message. And we can look at a passage of Scripture and where we have a clear and easy understanding of that passage, and where these churches have changed the understanding. Paul warned Timothy of these things and these practices in 2 Timothy 4. In verses 3 and 4, Paul writes to Timothy, and he said, "For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. They will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and will wander off into myths." A preacher's job is to teach the Word of God. And it's not an easy thing, because I think I can speak for most preachers. at some way, shape, or form, in some time, they want some things different. But they come back to where we began. The church belongs to and is Jesus. And so we do not have the right to change what has been given. Organized religion gets a bad reputation for different reasons. One is that some try to take man's interpretation and place burdens where God did not place burdens. Some hold to God's teachings when society wants to say that sin is okay as long as you are nice. God calls us to be disciples. He does not call us to be people-pleasing. When we find that church that holds God's truths and does so with God's love, then you'll find a church that belongs to Christ. So the church belongs to Christ. We are called to discipleship and worshiping with people who walk according to God's teachings. But is there more to this life than a good afterlife? And the answer is yes. Jesus in John 10 and verse 10, he said, "A thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Now we can take that in one way, that we're looking at the afterlife. But the abundant life is now in this visible kingdom that we call the church, as well as the kingdom that we call eternal life. Just think of the good that becomes from being part of a church which we belong to. A local congregation is where we as individuals receive our greatest blessings in life. When the church first began, it was more than something that was new and exciting. People's lives were changed. And we can see this in no better example than Acts chapter 2 in verses 41 through 47. "So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common." We need to consider what happened here. A local congregation becomes a place where we can grow spiritually. There is not a single person here or anywhere else that is so knowledgeable that they don't need others to help them apply God's truths in their lives. You want to know what is right about the church? That it is great to walk with each other, to help each other stay in step with the Spirit of God, to help us live out God's love and grace and hold each one of us accountable. This church is a place where we receive deep fellowship. And I can take it further than that. It is where we find real family. You know, I have a great physical family that lives in Maryland and Texas. And while I know that they will do many things for me, the church becomes the family that walks with me through the good days and the bad, because my family is not here. other than my children. It rejoices with me when good things happen. They cry with me when I am suffering some pain or distress. And the third thing we see with the organized religion of the church that Christ built is that of worship. In verse 42 of Acts 2, it said that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. It is that same breaking of bread that other churches call the Holy Communion or the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. And we did this morning, and there will be some that will do this evening. But the context here is more than just a memorial. It is a call to worship. It is a place where the like-minded believers that want Jesus to fill their lives, to love to worship Him. Sunday is one of my favorite days of the week. Not only because it is a day where Vicki and I decide Sunday afternoon will be nap time, but because each Lord's Day is like a family reunion. It is where our spiritual family joins one another at God's throne. The last thing we read about that verse, in that verse, is about pray. For many, prayer is very private. But there is something special that happens when Christians pray together. They share their heart with each other before God. They share their struggles. They share their triumphs. Praying is not just talking to God, but prayer is also listening to God. Now that may seem very strange, but when we pray, we open ourselves up to God's wisdom. How many times have any of us ever in deep distress have prayed to God and felt relief? So why should we even have a church when we already, within ourselves, believe we have a personal relationship with God? Why? Why is it necessary? Why can't we sit at home by ourselves and worship God? One, God has already placed us in His church. If God has placed us in this body of like-minded believers, why would we want to be anywhere else? Where would we go to make sure that we understand God's truth and not just our own will and personal desire? This is a place where we can find fellowship and family. And we get to worship forth with other believers. And our hearts are filled when those things happen. And last, it is the place where real intimacy can take place in activities like prayer. But we're not perfect in all areas. But we can offer one another encouragement, that we can become more than what we are this very moment. And while these authors of these books and while these other people believe that you do not have to have organized religion in order to be right with God, remember those things. while we can claim that we are never alone because God is always with us. Well, we are alone when we don't have family to share these things with. It's so important for us to be able to walk this life holding our head up by being here with somebody that can help keep us focused. You know, last night when Joel and I, was it probably about midnight when we got up there and started tweaking the projector and things were upside down and things were out of focus and everything else, and we were trying to get in things all lined up and everything else. And at one point I got to wondering, is it the machine or am I really that tired? You know, but the one thing that I think was more important than anything else is that neither Joel nor I were by ourselves, that we were there together. Well, how about when life gets out of focus? Who is next to us to put things back into focus? If it's not organized religion, if it's not a place where we can gather together to worship together, life will remain out of focus. There will be no other mind that will help you see things in a different light. If you're not a Christian tonight, where is your focus? Do you at least see the necessity of being together as a body instead of by yourself? I hope so. Because Jesus never intended for his church to be a group of individuals walking their own walk, but a group together walking that narrow way. That's what he intended. And while the world of religion can change it around to make it more appealing, the greatest appeal to a true Christian is knowing that, one, God walks with you daily, and two, that you are surrounded by family. So if you're not a Christian, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. You know, Jamie on his slide this morning had a really nice final slide on an invitation of the Romans 10:17. Of the believing and the hearing of believing, the repenting, the confessing, of being baptized into Christ. Well, tonight through your repentance and your confession, you can be washed in the blood of Jesus that this water represents in that burial, and you also can be added to his church. A distinct group of people. A group set apart from everyone else. And maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have not been walking the path that you should be walking, and you have strayed out of bounds and realize that you need to come back. If there is any way that we can help you this evening, through prayers, through baptism, we want to give you that opportunity now as together we stand and we sing.